and the concert starts at 7:30. Tickets are available at the usual outlets, any chorus member, and the door. Come and experience hope, joy, and laughter.
And the Juno Pride Chorus will be in here in just a moment to talk to us about that concert, their spring concert coming up. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Andy Klein for this Thursday edition of a Juno Afternoon. Glad to be with you today. Also going to be talking to folks at Zach Gordon Youth Center about their Easter egg hunt. Jess Brown will be here. Juno Dance Unlimited, we'll get an update from them on all their activities, and Arts Up with Nancy DeCherney. Also going to be talking to Katie Bosler and Pat Race about the Sound in Motion College Track, which is a premiere happening Friday, and that's going to be happening at the Egan Lecture Hall. It's a documentary about Alaska Native students making their way through college at the University of Alaska, a very fascinating project, and we'll be talking to them about their third installment of College Track. Mostly cloudy skies is the forecast for the rest of the day. I don't believe it. It looks beautiful out there to me. Forget NOAA. They don't know what they're talking about. No, they do. They do. Mostly cloudy skies. Highs around 39 today. For tonight, mostly cloudy once again with a slight chance of snow late with lows around 29 degrees. And mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of snow, slight chance of rain in the afternoon for Friday. Friday night, cloudy and rain likely on Saturday. Saturday night through Sunday night, mostly cloudy skies with the chance of rain. Lows around 34 degrees and highs around 44 degrees. Right now, let's listen to National Native News, and we'll be back with more of a Juno Afternoon in just a moment.
For National Native News, I'm Tristan Ottone, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. Federal officials say they may have weakened the largest and most violent Native American gang in the U.S. An alleged leader and two members of the Native Mob were recently convicted and are awaiting sentencing. Native Mob is active primarily in Minnesota and Wisconsin, but has also appeared in other states like North and South Dakota. The gang is accused of being responsible for drug trafficking, murder, and witness retaliation. Three convictions handed down by a federal jury in Minneapolis last week linked alleged Native Mob leader Joaquinian Arthur and two alleged gang members, Anthony Cree and William Morris, to drugs and weapons charges, racketeering conspiracy, and attempted murder. Defense attorneys claim the government's case was overblown and that no evidence exists to prove the trio was part of a large organized criminal gang. Law enforcement officials say more work needs to be done to curb Native Mob's gang activities in the U.S. The Oglala and Rosebud Sioux tribes have filed a new lawsuit alleging the state of South Dakota is violating the Indian Child Welfare Act. According to the two tribes, South Dakota routinely violates the law after removing children from their homes based on accusations of neglect or abuse. The lawsuit addresses the hearing process when the courts determine whether a child should be returned to their parents. The Oglala and Rosebud Sioux tribes claim that hearings are as short as a minute, leaving no time for parents to demonstrate their ability to care for children. The lawsuit is part of an ongoing dispute about Native children in foster care in South Dakota. The latest lawsuit seeks class action status for all Native American parents and custodians enrolled in a federally recognized tribe in the state. The First Nations Development Institute has announced that nearly $800,000 in grants have been awarded to 10 communities across the U.S. to enhance Native control of local food systems. Grantees include the Big Pine Paiute Tribe of Owens Valley, California, the Ponca Tribe of Oklahoma, Taos Pueblo in New Mexico, and Waimea Hawaiian Homesteaders Association. Projects range from farming to nutritional analysis of pre-reservation diets. Raymond Foxworth is with the First Nations Development Institute. He says childhood obesity rates are on the rise, and many Native American families are struggling to put food on the table. The grants will encourage Native communities to take more control of food sources for community use.
When we look at food systems as an asset, we can begin to understand how this asset can be used to empower communities, not only to improve the lives and the well-being of tribal citizens, but also that leads to more self-sufficient, economically sustainable, and overall stronger, healthy Native nations.
Foxworth says with grants and planning assistance, tribes will have more control over food production and the kinds of foods that are sold in Native communities. A lawsuit in Wyoming between the Northern Arapaho Tribe and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service over a permit to capture and kill bald eagles for religious purposes has been put on hold. The 60-day hold will allow both groups to weigh implications of a new state law that allows falconers with permits to capture eagles. Last year, the Northern Arapaho Tribe was issued a federal permit to kill two bald eagles. However, the permit only allowed the tribe to do so on the Wind River Reservation. The Northern Arapaho Tribe share a reservation with the Eastern Shoshone Tribe, who oppose the permit. The Arapaho were recently granted a new eagle permit by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that allows for the live take of two eagles off the reservation. The new 60-day break will allow the tribe and federal government to consider the new Wyoming falconer law and how it might affect the tribe's ability to continue gathering eagles for religious purposes. On this day in 1920, Athabascan leader Franklin Madro Sr. was born in Interior, Alaska. He was a chief of his people and was active in the Tanana Chiefs Conference. His leadership included bringing new businesses and modern services to his village. Madro was known for traditional storytelling and singing. He passed away in 2006 after battling cancer. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Ottone.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Every Alaskan can support causes and organizations they care about when they file for a permanent fund dividend. Use PIC-CLIC-GIVE when filing online for your PFD. When you select KNBA-FM, Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, you support National Native News. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Music in My Mother's House, a beautiful song by the Juno Pride Chorus, and two members of the Pride Chorus are with me right now, Becky Bear and Leslie Wood. Thanks so much for coming in to do both of you.
Thank you, Andy.
You guys are doing a really fun, it's an annual event. The spring concert is happening. It's coming up this Saturday. Tell me a little bit about what you guys are going to do on Saturday.
Well, we have our annual concert where we're singing all the songs we've been working really hard learning this year, and of course we have our silent auction fundraiser too, and that's been an annual event also, and that's a lot of fun.
So that happens, how does that happen? The silent auction is there, and then people can kind of mill around and look at all that stuff, then the concert happens. Do you take breaks during the concert and kind of close out tables and do that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that happens during the intermission.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So. All right.
We have a lot of items.
So tell me about some of the items that's there for the silent auction. What are some of the premier things?
Well, one of the things that we've had yearly is, I won't say who, but dinner for eight at a home of someone who's a well-known cook, and that's a very popular item. I haven't really looked that much at the silent auction items.
Okay.
But I will go back and say that the way this works is our doors open at 6:30. From 6:30 to 7:30, people can circulate and look at the items and make their bids. Our concert formally will begin at 7:30. And then, as Leslie said, at the break, we'll be picking up items and declaring winners.
Leslie, do you know of some of the silent auction items, some of the premier ones that are happening? Not really?
No.
Well, so that's a different department.
I see. There's departments in the Pride Chorus?
Well, for instance, I'm the producer, so my job is to make sure the venue and things are put together.
I see.
There's somebody else who's in charge of the silent auction, and actually that had to switch because of a death in the family.
Okay.
So I've been completely out of touch with what's happening.
Yes, I talked to the person who's in charge today. Her name is Mary Graham, and she said there's a lot of items, and we're so excited because there's a variety, of course, I know.
Very cool.
I know, personally, my mother has made baby blankets and afghans, and my sister crocheted, you know, so it's homemade stuff that you can buy,
cool.
And I'm so glad that they donated to our concert. I know there's some massage therapists, gift certificates. I know there's one from Chez Santé. I know... I don't know any others right
those
now.
Those are always popular, the massage ones. Great gifts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? You get that if you're sure. You might get it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But if you're very generous, you might be able to give that one too.
And the Juno Pride Chorus just launched our website just a month ago. So www.junopridechorus.com is our website. And we also have the ability to take credit cards at the concert for silent auction items.
All right.
So that's a very...
There you go. Technology.
Yes.
That's exciting. Okay, so the silent auction item happened, but really the big draw is the concert itself. So what music are you guys going to be doing this time?
Oh, we have a lot of fun stuff this year, Andy, like we do almost every year. Our theme this year is hope, joy, and laughter, and so some of the fun ones we're singing are like the Pink Panther theme and something from Spamalot and
is it Brave Sir Robin? Is it about Brave Sir Robin running away?
It's about,
no, oh, it's my favorite
song.
The song
goes
that goes
like this,
and then we're singing some hopeful songs. The Bridge Over Troubled Water, an old favorite,
sure.
Standard.
Yeah.
Down by the Riverside, we're singing that one again, and that's been a lot of fun to recreate. We have a little cabaret happening at the beginning of the second set, so four members of the Juno Pride Chorus are singing either duets or solos, so they're kind of going out there and singing the next level. And then we're going to feature our ensemble that has been formed in the chorus. We're called the Pitch Hitters.
So tell me about that. So there's kind of smaller singing groups that then also form within the Pride Chorus. That's kind of, is that kind of a new development or?
Well, we've been doing the ensemble for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but we're kicking up now. We just did the Singing Valentines, and
yes.
we had so much fun doing that. And we had someone who came up to us and said, well, can you work this wedding? Can you come to the wedding and sing? So we're moving into anytime you need some singers for birthdays, bar mitzvahs, weddings, we have a group that can
that
come.
That sounds
and sing.
Awesome. Yeah, what a great little treat just to have that happen as live entertainment and beautiful singing happening at an event. That's a really cool idea. So how do people decide to get involved in those smaller groups? They just spontaneously decide to do it, start practicing stuff, and then do they have to audition it to the rest of the Pride Chorus in order to see if it's good enough, or how does that work?
Well, no, the ensemble just forms of
okay.
the people who want to sing, go to the next level, maybe sing a cappella stuff, do more ensemble work, which is a little more challenging. And yes, we do sing in front of the chorus just to practice and get our feet wet, as you say, you know.
Right.
And same thing with, you know, I'm a big proponent to practice performing, and so the cabaret has been performing also throughout our rehearsals. I wanted to mention that we are singing Born This Way this year, and we have a sign language interpreter, Jordan Reese, who's going to be performing with us, and this is very exciting because it's sort of a historical thing with women's choruses that they started including sign language interpreting in
mm-hmm.
the music, and that's something that we're finally doing, and I'm really excited, and he's joining us for that one song, and I'm crossing my fingers that he'll become a regular.
That would be cool. Yeah. Yeah, it's great to work. I've just done emceeing some events where there's sign language interpretation. It really adds a lot to me. It adds something, even if you're not someone who reads sign language, it's something that just adds to the whole, just feels like a bigger thing, and it's a nice way of thinking about another way of communicating thoughts and ideas. So that's really cool, very cool thing. Well, so it's happening, what were some of the details on the actual tickets, and how can people get tickets, and how much are they, and all that kind of stuff?
Got that.
All right, here it is, Becky.
Okay.
All right.
If you buy in advance, it's $16. At the door, it'll be $18. That's for adults. We have a family rate of $35 if you buy in advance, and $38 if you get at the door. And students, K through 12, and seniors, 65 and over, then it's $13 if you buy in advance and $15 if you buy at the door. Tickets available at the Jack and also at the bookstores. And so
there
it's
you go.
Easy.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we're at the Jack, so that's a small venue. So we need to avoid the famous, oh, I'll just wait till I get to the door. And
because it'll sell out.
It's getting like
and
that.
It'll sell out.
Can I do a brief commercial for something else we're involved
sure.
in?
Sure.
Okay. On Monday, the Pride Chorus, along with Perseverance Theater, is doing 8. 8 is based on the famous Proposition 8 in California that we've all been hearing so much about. One of our members, Lo Longworth, and her long-time partner are portraying the female couple that brought the whole case up. And Judge Carpinetti's involved mm-hmm. and all sorts of people.
We just talked to Art Roach about it yesterday on Junior Afternoon here. It sounds like a fascinating thing happening mm-hmm. on Monday, yeah.
And we'll be singing there.
Great.
And so it's a fundraiser, and the money goes to Perseverance, to us, and to the Pride Foundation.
It's a fascinating thing. It's actually a nationwide play. It's played throughout the country, and it actually changes every time. It's updated with new information and that sort of thing every time. So every performance of 8 is slightly different and incorporates members of the community as you are participating in it. So, yeah, really interesting thing. Well, just a little bit more about the Pride Chorus. Tell me, how can people get involved in the Pride Chorus? How, if people want to get involved, and what's the Pride Chorus all about?
Well, we are sponsored by PFLAG, so anyone who is supportive of PFLAG knows about PFLAG. That's kind of where we started. They're our parent group. And we generally rehearse, you know, starting in August or September, and that's a great time to join. And
it's on the ground floor there,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And,
okay.
you know, we start choosing music over the summer, so it's a good time to kind of get involved and get on the list and be part of that choosing the music part. But we're open to women, and it's not an audition chorus or anything.
Just if you want to
so,
mm-hmm.
yeah, people come and join. And we had 3 experienced singers join late in the season this year, but they just jumped in, learned the music, and they're doing great. And so it's a matter of, you know, learning the music. And I'm very supportive in helping people do that because we provide rehearsal tapes and everything for everybody.
There you go. Yeah. So it's an all-inclusive fun organization for people who just want to sing.
Right. Yes. And I'll run an ad. We can certainly use A2s, alto 2s, and soprano 1s.
Alto 2s and soprano 1s especially.
Yeah, in the middle we got lots of people, you know. But we've got 4 people in our alto 2s.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, it's the Juno Pride Chorus's spring concert. It's happening a Saturday at the Jack at 6:30. It's also a silent auction, so a fun way to contribute a little bit more and to get some wonderful goods and services at the silent auction as well. Becky Baer and Leslie Wood, thanks so much for coming in, and have a great time on Saturday.
Thanks. Well, thanks for having us.
Sure. From the Juno Pride Chorus there. performing their spring concert Saturday at the Jack. Go check it out. It's going to be fun. Another thing happening this weekend. Very fun stuff. Easter egg hunt. It's happening. Zach Gordon Youth Center is sponsoring it, but it's out at the Thunder Mountain High School, right?
Yes.
Jess Brown and Donnie Burris are with us from the Zach Gordon Youth Center. Thanks, you guys, for coming in. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Tell me about this Easter egg hunt. I mean, I guess we know what an Easter egg hunt is, right? But what are some of the particulars here? It's happening out at Thunder Mountain High School. It's for little kids, right?
Yes.
It's kind of for the little ones.
Yeah, so it's from ages 0 to 10.
Okay.
And the cost is $5. And we're going to hide 7,000 eggs out at Thunder Mountain High School.
You know, I just want to stop you right there and just let you know that's crazy.
Okay.
Well, even
somebody's got to stop you people.
All those eggs get hidden in a matter of an hour. So
yes.
By how many people do you, what?
Maybe 7,000 eggs in an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, really? We just split up and hide them.
Just get a hide
everywhere.
That's an egg a second or something that you're hiding. I don't know what that averages out to, but that's just amazing. And then they're all discovered like in 5 minutes, right?
Definitely 5 minutes. Tops. You do not want to be late to this event. This event starts at 10 o'clock, and this is not a time to be 2 minutes late.
Yeah. You
want to get there between 9 and 9:30. To register and check in.
Okay.
And when you get there to check in, each kid goes home with a little prize bag. So even if they can't find 2 dozen eggs out of the 7,000, each kid does get a prize bag with some goodies in there. So that's something to look forward to.
Everyone's a winner.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
No losers at an Easter egg hunt.
Oh, no.
No. Now, is there a record for the most eggs collected by one kid that you can think of?
You know, I don't think so, but that's cool. We should.
There are definitely some kids who walk away with their bags full.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just pillow sacks full of Easter eggs, yeah.
And then we have some crying toddlers that we end up,
yes.
You know.
We reserve a few.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, easy to hide.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there might be one hiding right there.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
When they turn their back with their moms, we're like, extra eggs. Wow, you missed one. For sure.
Well, that sounds fun. So you mentioned registration stuff. How do people go about doing that?
You can register at the Zach Gordon Youth Center today through Friday night. We'll be open until 10 o'clock Friday night. Or you can register at the Parks and Rec main office. And for anyone who doesn't know where we're located, the Zach Gordon Youth Center is in the same parking lot as Centennial Hall and Bullwinkle's and the Jack.
At the blue roof
there. The blue roof.
The basketball court in back. Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Zach Gordon Youth Center. Everyone seems like everyone knows where that is. But yeah, it's over there in the Centennial Hall parking lot.
Yes.
And people, as you said, people can register day of the Easter egg hunt too?
They can. There'll be longer lines, but we certainly take registrations that morning from 9 to 9:30.
And how many kids usually participate in this?
So last year we had 492, I believe.
All right.
Somewhere around that area. So we prepare for 500, and we're never that far from 500. It's a very popular event, and the kids love it. Mm-hmm. It's great.
For 7,000 eggs
yes. mm-hmm.
for 500 kids.
Yes.
Yep.
That's good odds.
Yeah, that
yeah,
is.
You're going to get a lot of eggs.
And if you pre-register, you're entered in a drawing for a grand prize.
Do we know what the grand prize is?
They're surprise grand prizes,
okay.
But I can tell you that they are awesome. Very awesome.
That seems rather general.
They might
but
have
there's
some
awesomeness to them, yes.
Yes, there are. And also new this year, the Thunder Mountain High School softball team are going to be offering some on-the-go breakfast items. So if the little kiddies are hungry after searching tirelessly for 2 minutes for eggs, they can refill with some snacks.
That sounds
so
great,
that'll
yeah.
be nice. Maybe the lines will be a little shorter at McDonald's afterwards. You can get some
now,
snacks
is this a
before
sort
then.
Of a fundraiser for Zach Gordon? Is that what this is? Is how, or
well,
is it just sort
know,
of
we,
a break-even
yeah,
raiser?
Yeah, it definitely
break even.
Breaks even. It's yeah. for the community.
Right.
It's been going on for 29 years, and it's just something we want to keep alive. So not a big profit, but the kids love it, and it's a really good event to have in the community, I think.
Well, tell me a little bit more just while you're here about Zach Gordon, about some of the services you offer, about what kind of kids are hanging out and using the facilities there.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we're a free drop-in facility for any youth and families, and youth are allowed in up until they're 21. And so we've got things like racquetball, ping pong, pool, basketball.
Climbing wall. Cool climbing wall in there, yeah.
And then pretty soon here we'll have some other events like the Hershey's track meet that we'll hold out at Thunder Mountain again. And then in the summer we gear into the summer class mode. And so we'll have classes pretty much every week that school is out with fishing and art classes and beach classes and just fun stuff.
Open to all the same age group, or is that kind of limited to other age groups, or depending on the activity?
They range from age 6 to 13, I believe, and it just depends on what class. We have the fishing classes, which I believe it starts at 6 to 13, which is the youngest, and some of the other hiking classes, they begin at 7 or 9, It's a variety of age groups, but it's a really nice thing to do in the summer.
And when people are there, when kids are there in the afternoons or whenever they might be there, are there kind of structured activities that happen, or how does it usually work?
So sometimes there are. We do homework hour, which after school we dedicate some time to doing homework. We have movies going. We have popcorn. Sometimes we, around the holidays, we do Thanksgiving crafts, Christmas crafts. We just try to keep holiday things around. We did some Easter bunnies last week, decorating big giant Easter cookies. So we try to keep things fresh and new around there for kids.
Yeah, fun. All right. It's a great facility, great organization, and super fun thing happening, the Easter egg hunt. It's coming up. It's for little ones to 10-year-olds. And come on now, we don't want 13, 14-year-old kids out there. Let's not do that to the kids. And so you guys have kind of break it up into different age groups a little bit, the different hunts and stuff like that?
We do. We have three age groups. On the football field, we'll have 0 to 4-year-olds, and then right in front of that main commons area is the 5 to 7, and then back behind the staff parking lot where we can really hide the eggs well are the 8 to 10-year-olds.
Oh, and those are the ones you really work on really hiding, the 8 to 10-year-olds.
Yes, we really hide those. And people are leaving, getting in their cars, we're cleaning, and there's still 8 to 10-year-olds thinking that they're just
around.
One more egg.
Searching. Determined.
They are determined.
Well, that's awesome. Okay, the Easter egg hunt, it's happening. Come up this Sunday.
This Saturday.
Yes. Saturday, not on Easter, but on Saturday. I made that mistake before when I talked to you guys. Coming up Saturday, what time does it start again?
It starts at 10 a.m. sharp.
And the registration starts at 9:30?
At 9 to 9:30.
9 to 9:30 is registration, so get there at 9 if you haven't signed up yet. But if you haven't signed up yet and you're listening now, drop by Zach Gordon Youth Center and sign up over there, and then you can just get there at 10 o'clock and start with the Easter egg hunt. But like you were saying, don't get there late.
Yes, do not get there late. Registration closes at 9:45, and this hunt goes fast.
Oh, yes, it goes fast. All right, Easter egg hunt happening with Zach Gordon Youth Center out at Thunder Mountain High School. Jess and Donnie, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Big fan.
All right. Head out for that Easter egg hunt there. It's going to be fun. Welcome back to a Juno Afternoon on this Thursday afternoon. Remember, it's the pledge drive happening right now here on KTOO. You can call in at 586-3636 or go online at ktoo.org to contribute to this station that brings you great programming, both local news, national and international news and information, and even shows like this that tell you what's going on in your own community, things like Easter egg hunts. Right now, we're going to go to Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keeler, and we'll be back to talk to folks from Juno Dance Unlimited. Katie Bosler from UAS will be here, and also Arts Up with Nancy DeCherney.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 28th of March, 2013. It's the birthday of Nelson Algren, 1909, Detroit. He grew up in Chicago's immigrant neighborhoods, wrote his first story, So Help Me, during the Great Depression, while he was working at a gas station in Texas. Nelson Algren was caught stealing a typewriter, spent 5 months in jail, and after that his work was about the down and out, the loser, the reject. He became known as a writer of Chicago, Algren, who said, if a writer could write the truth about one Chicago street, that would be a good life's work. A Walk on the Wild Side, set in the world of pimps and prostitutes in New Orleans. It was in that book that Algren gave his famous three rules for life. Never play cards with a man called Doc. Never eat at a place called Mom's. Never sleep with a woman whose troubles are worse than your own. Nelson Algren said, a certain ruthlessness and a sense of alienation from society is as essential to creative writing as it is to armed robbery. It's the birthday of Mario Vargas Llosa, born in Arequipa in southern Peru, 1936, went to a military academy in Lima, which he hated and which inspired his first novel, The Time of the Hero. He ran for the presidency of Peru in 1990 against Alberto Fujimori. He lost. Llosa subsequently renounced politics. He said literature and politics are mutually exclusive. A writer is someone who works alone, who needs total independence. A politician is someone who is totally dependent, who has to make all kinds of concessions, the very thing a writer can't do. It's the birthday of Russell Banks, Newton, Massachusetts, 1940, whose latest novel is Lost Memory of Skin, inspired by an encampment of sex offenders living under a causeway near Banks's Miami high-rise apartment. It was on this day, 1941, Virginia Woolf committed suicide by drowning. A lively, witty, productive, creative person whose life was overshadowed by her death. Wrote three of her best books in the space of just a few years in the 1920s, Mrs. Dalloway, To the Lighthouse, and Orlando. And it's the birthday of Iris Chang, born Princeton, New Jersey, 1968, a hard-working nonfiction writer, wrote books about the Nanking Massacre, the history of the Chinese in America, and the Bataan Death March, which was the book she was working on when she had a nervous breakdown, stopped taking her medications because they made her groggy, unable to work, and committed suicide not far from her home in San Jose, California, in 2004. Here's a poem for today, a little lyric by William Shakespeare. O mistress mine, where are you roaming? O stay and hear, your true love's coming. That can sing both high and low, trip no further, pretty sweeting, journeys end in lovers' meeting, every wise man's son doth know. What is love? 'Tis not hereafter. Present mirth hath present laughter. What's to come is still unsure. In delay there lies no plenty, then come, kiss me, sweet and twenty. Youth's a stuff will not endure. Wrote William Shakespeare. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Kathy Roach and Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, keep in touch.
Hi, this is Jim Strader from Bartlett Regional Hospital. We'd like to invite you to the 4th Annual Alaska Women's Expo on Saturday, April 6th at Centennial Hall. Once again, the Bartlett Regional Hospital Foundation is bringing together fashion, exhibits, workshops, educators, and entertainment to enrich the lives of women and those they touch. This year's keynote speaker is Joe Packham, author, successful entrepreneur, and editor of Where Women Create series, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., Saturday, April 6th at Centennial Hall. Don't miss the Alaska Women's Expo.
I love the sound of breaking glass.
See, because it's sound. See? So sound,
yes.
And motion, you see?
That's
Nick Lowe.
Andy.
Loves the sound of breaking glass. And Katie Bosler is with
me. It's all connected.
It's all connected here. Katie Bosler is with me from UAS. Are your headphones working okay there? Need
yes,
them up a
they
little
are.
Bit? There
yes,
you go.
They're fine.
Okay.
Yes.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. How are you doing, Andy?
I'm good. Thanks so much for everything you've been doing during our pledge drive here. You're one of the all-stars that comes in and helps us do all the things that we do here. So
we're going to miss you, all-star.
And we miss you on hosting Juno Afternoon.
Yeah. You know, you can't do it all. You try to
can't
do it all in this town,
do
right?
It all.
But at
you
some
give
point,
and you give and you give.
And then, you know, for a while, you just don't show up.
That's it. And then it's like, where's Katie? Well, here she is.
Yes.
Let's talk about College Track. This is such a cool thing that's
yes.
been going on for, I think, 3 years now. Is this the third year of it? Has it been going
well,
on for much longer than that?
Actually, the College Track series started when I was a contract producer with K2OTV in 2004.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
The Wayback Machine. All right.
K2 got a grant to document first-generation college students for statewide public TV, kind of piggybacking on a series that PBS was doing about first-generation college students. So what we did is Skip Gray and I went out to Southeast communities, Yakutat, Heidelberg, Craig, and we found some students who were just graduating from high school, talked to them about their plans for the future, and now here we are. We've done three part series, one in 2004, one in 2007, now this one, 2013, produced and directed by Pat Race of Lucid Reverie, following the path of these students
since 2004, or some
yeah.
of them, or most
some
of them.
Them?
Okay,
some
yeah.
of them. I mean, there's two, three of the students that we started out with. We are in this documentary that will be premiering tomorrow night at the Egan Lecture Hall
wow.
at 7 o'clock.
So it's such yeah. an opportunity to track the lives of people who are very young.
Yes.
And now are in their mid-20s or
yes.
even
yeah. and
getting
married.
Towards late 20s and that kind of thing.
You know,
married,
having kids. Having,
yeah, all that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And varying levels of what's happening in their lives or success in their lives or things like that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the life changes they've gone through. I mean, our graduate, Amanda Bremner, tragically lost her brother to leukemia when she started college. And so that was huge for her. But now she's a Tlingit teacher in the Yakutat schools. She has her bachelor's degree from UAS, and, you know, she's eventually going to get her master's degree. So her story is very, very
mm-hmm.
interesting.
Yeah.
Then we have Marita and Ben Young of Heidelberg. Marita has her associate's degree from UAF, not UAS.
Mm-hmm.
She, part of that is in aviation. So they're down south in Louisiana now. And she is flying airplanes, I think for FedEx, maybe.
Yeah.
Ben is teaching Haida because he's one of the few people with expertise in the Haida language. He studied with his grandfather, who died at the age of 102 a couple years ago.
Amazing.
As an e-learning adjunct instructor at UAS. But still, Ben has not, in quotes, graduated from college. Marita still doesn't have her bachelor's degree. So the thesis that Pat kind of
came up with for this documentary that people can see tomorrow night at the Eaton Lecture Hall is that these students are so busy sustaining their culture, rejuvenating their culture, and learning their language and teaching others their language, that if it takes them more than 4, 5, 6 years to graduate, that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's a goal for them, but they've got all kinds of other stuff going on.
It's such an interesting thing, too, because really, you know, what you're in a way talking about is this metaphor for the larger thing that has happened, which is that this Western culture in the past couple hundred years has swept across this continent and tried and sort of like forced assimilation.
Yes.
And here are these people that are really fighting to maintain their own traditional culture but still are very much Americans and very much just young kids like everyone else trying to find their way. But having to that's in their own personal lives, that meeting of Western and traditional culture is a conflict and is something that they have to work around every single day.
Right, but the good news is that there's Native and rural student support centers and networks and communities at all three of the main campuses, Fairbanks, Juneau, and Anchorage. And for example, Juneau is just absolutely thriving. I mean, the Native and Rural Student Center there, headed up by Colleen James, is a real home away from home for rural students. There's a kitchen in there and a living room, and it's kind of low lighting. People hang out. They have advisors there who can help them with their, you know, working on their support for their classes. And they have a dance group. You know, they have fry bread sales. And so that group, Wuchin, will be part of the premiere tomorrow night. They might have some food on hand. There will be some materials about the Alaska Native Studies at UAS, as well as the support services offered by that center. So what we'll do tomorrow night is premiere the film. It's about a half an hour long. It's called College Track 3. 1 and 2
were in. Sexy name.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great.
College Track.
That really
yeah.
brings them in.
Yeah. in 2004 and 7. And
so we'll show the first two.
No.
Oh, you
no.
will? Okay.
But I just
too long
to tell
of an evening. Yeah. Okay,
right. But what we'll do is we'll show the film, and then we'll have a panel discussion moderated by our head of Alaska Native Languages and Studies, Lance Twitchell. We'll moderate a half an hour taped panel discussion with 4 students. And then those two pieces will be put together by Tim Olson here at 360 North KTO TV, and then that package will run on Alaska Public TV in April.
Great. Wow, what's such a cool thing.
Well, yes.
We've got lots of guests here today.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Katie, we could talk about this with you for a while, but Pat Race will be here tomorrow during
yes.
the June afternoon
yeah,
tomorrow to talk
more
about it.
Yeah, he will fill in some more blanks about this, but I just wanted to give people a heads up that this is happening tomorrow night, free, 7 o'clock, Eagan Lecture Hall at the Auk Lake campus, and the public is invited.
Yeah, and just it's happening. It's all about, it's all part of the Sound and Motion series.
Yes.
And once again, it's College Track 3, this third film in a series that has started in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we'll maybe continue beyond even.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with it. But it's certainly interesting to have these people be able to tell their stories in this chronological way. And
yes.
And it's a fascinating project that's happening.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, free Eagan Lecture Hall. It's happening, and it's College Track 3. Katie Bosler from UAS, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Andy Klein.
Okay.
And thank you for all you do.
Sure. Absolutely. Thank you.
I'm going to miss you.
Springtime, time to frolic, gambol, and dance through the flowers. And Juno Dance Unlimited is here to talk about that, right? It's spring. You just were saying springtime is dance time, Philip Crowder.
Yes, it's a busy, busy time of the year for dance lovers.
Yes, and Charlotte Truitt is also with us. Charlotte, thanks so much for coming in. Yeah, good to see you as well. So, yeah, let's talk about Juno Dance Unlimited. Lots of stuff going on. I know we'll probably talk a little bit about the Fine Arts Camp sign up and stuff like that, right? That's going to be one thing. I know it's a big thing you guys do every year.
Yes, and our upcoming performances.
Okay, so what do you want to talk about first?
Well, our first upcoming performance is Ballet to Broadway, our theme. We're going to be presenting ballet and American theater dance, Broadway choreography. It's going to be on the weekend of May 3rd, 4th, and 5th at the Thunder Mountain High School Auditorium. This is going to be really great this year because we're going to do a full-length Paquita ballet. I think that's the first time Juno has ever seen
that. What is that? I don't know what that is.
Well, it's a very old ballet originally done in Russia, and this staging of it was originally done in 1881. And the choreographer was Marius Petipov, famous choreographer
of course.
The music of Ludwig Mincus.
I'm very familiar.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And so we're going to be doing a full-length...
I'm sorry.
We're going to do the full-length version of it.
I'm just a rube over here. It's terrible that you even talk to me about this stuff. But no, I'm sorry. I'm interrupting. But no,
this is a real
wonderful
treat for Juno because I'm almost positive that Juno has never seen anything like this before.
Now, what makes it so different?
Oh, it's a full-blown, real classical ballet that everybody... The idea of what you think classical ballet is, ballet technique. You know, it's like a lot of partnering, a lot of point work. It's very complex.
So this is this scene is one of the things that's the building block for all ballet that has come since this?
Oh, absolutely. Exactly what Paquita is. It's one of the base choreographies that you see back, you know, 100 years is what ballet is based on today.
Right.
And we have wonderful dancers now. A lot of our girls are so talented. And some of our boys are talented, too. Can't forget the boys.
Right.
Yeah. And so they're going to be doing the performances for us this in May on that weekend.
Okay.
And, They're just absolutely just wonderful kids. They're very, very good dancers. Now, they're all stronger, high school-aged kids.
A real important part of dance, right? I mean, as your body develops, as kids are just getting to be older, then these more advanced moves can become possible.
Yes, they're all getting into the high school age, you know, before college, and that's at their very peak conditioning. And, you know, a lot of our girls, they go off for the summer to summer intensive to big ballet company schools. For example, a Boston Ballet School, the Houston Ballet School, American Ballet Theater, the Bolshoi Ballet Academy, Chicago Joffrey.
Wow.
We have one girl going to Alvin Ailey in New York this summer. Misha Culver, I'm sure some people might know who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're very proud of them, and they're just wonderful dancers, and they're very strong, and they're going to look wonderful in their pink tutus. And so we want everybody in Juno to come down and see Paquita.
Okay, that's very cool. All right, so that's happening in May.
That first weekend in May.
Okay,
right.
Great.
Also,
now, are tickets available for that yet?
Tickets will be available online through the Vendini ticketing system.
You would think that would be enough, but it's not.
Okay.
We're also going to do the choreography of Bob Fosse, which I know a lot of people are familiar with, a Broadway choreographer, famous man. We're going to be doing the Rich Man's Frug from Sweet Charity. We're going to be doing the whole thing of that. And also we're going to be doing... Dancing Man, which was Bob Fosse's tribute to Fred Astaire.
Okay.
So we're going to be doing that, and that's going to be a real treat. It's wonderful to see a real taste of the 1960s.
So now when you say that's what Bob Fosse, like I know Bob Chorus Line, I think, was a Bob Fosse, right? And then all that jazz was kind of about Bob Fosse, right? And that was that sort of stuff. So I know that he was very famous, but when you say you're going to do these pieces, these are specific dance routines that happen within plays?
Within musicals,
Within musicals? Yes. Okay, so they're famous in and of themselves, dance
and
is
our
famous.
Our resident teacher, American musical theater teacher, Richie Adan, is setting this choreography and teaching it to our students.
Okay.
And it's going to be absolutely wonderful because this is really sophisticated choreography, and I'm sure the audience really enjoy watching this. And we're also going to be doing, as a treat, our own Bollywood number, Shakalaka Baby.
I love it. Now I love this. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
Bollywood.
Which was originally done in the Broadway musical Bombay Dreams. So, but again, Richie Dan is doing original choreography to that. Shakalaka Baby, Bollywood. So you got Paquita, Marius Petipov, you have Bob Fosse, and you have Bollywood. So and what more could you want?
Well, that's a fantastic full plate show. Yeah, that's a full plate.
And I just wanted to add, last year after we introduced the Ballet to Broadway show, many people commented, like, I feel like I've gone to a Broadway show during that Broadway segment. I mean, people will be amazed. This is resetting of the original choreography. So when you see it, it really does have a professional feel to the show, and the it's exciting.
Really?
And
that's
it's a real treat. So folks that like any kind of dance, there's something for everybody to enjoy.
Good. And I would also just like to add that we're also going to have hip-hop in the program by resident teacher and choreographer Julie Tran, who used to be on the Juneau Douglas High School dance team, and she's a wonderful hip-hop choreographer. And we have Becky Engstrom, who a lot of people in town know who she is. She's been around for a long time. She's been doing choreography and teaching modern dance. So we're going to have both of them also on our program. We're really proud to have them.
Great. And she worked with us on Wearable Arts and helped all the choreography of Wearable Arts. So if you enjoyed that show, that's a large part goes to credit goes to her for that. So so that's this great performances. Terrific. Now let's talk about Fine Arts Camp.
Right.
That sign up is starting to happen here, right? You got to start thinking about
it. It is on Monday, April 1st, online at junodance.org. People can start registering, and we've got a great lineup of classes. M.K. McNaughton has worked with many art leaders in the community, and I think families will find some really interesting offerings, different things in the Native community, different carving, storytelling, and so on. There's a really great partnership with Sea Alaska, and in addition to all the painting and block art and cooking, and it's a really nice lineup. So if folks will go online, they can start to register online. We try to make it really easy
for folks. Something I think to do this early because these things start to fill up.
They start to fill up, and the phone's been ringing already, and people even are emailing, how soon on April 1st can I start to register?
Does that mean midnight?
Okay, 12:01 a.m. registration opens. I just answered the email, so yeah, get right on that.
It's very popular.
For children entering kindergarten through sixth grade, it's down at the Juneau Douglas High School.
Yeah, and so many kids have gone through that through the years. My kid has gone through it. Everyone's gone through it and just benefited so much from it.
A lot of people don't realize that Juneau Dance Unlimited has done this for over 30 years. It's not, some people associate with the school district, but it's a Juneau Dance Unlimited function, and we're really proud of it and happy to be involved for so long.
Yeah. Also new for this year for Fine Arts Camp is we're going to extend it an extra week, so it's going to be 4 weeks for the first time. In the past, it's been 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
But this summer, it's going to be 4 weeks.
And then there's some extended hours for daycare before Fine Arts Camp as well.
Yes,
you can sign up for additionally.
Pre-camp before that kind of thing. In the morning, and also we will escort kids to the rally, which is next door at the Harborview.
Yep.
And if families, I know the summer is so full of activities going on, and if you can't be at all 4 weeks, that's okay. You can just pick the week that you want to, that you are available, and it won't compromise your experience. The curriculums are designed so that people can do a week segment at a time.
Okay, great.
So that's good for families to know, because there's so much going on. It's hard to pick.
Yeah, and then people go out of town for a couple of weeks, and all that kind of stuff happens. Yep. Busy family. Well, is there anything else to update us on Juneau Dance Unlimited right now?
Well, it's funny you ask.
A couple more things. We have a whale-watching cruise coming up, which is a major fundraiser for us. It happens June 8th.
Okay.
So if you're looking to get out on the water, we do an evening cruise with wine and beer and a huge food spread. We offer a lot for the price. It's like $75 per person.
And you can see whales.
It's a lot of food and great beer and wine, thanks to the folks at K&L Distributors.
And usually the whales show up, too.
Yes. Yeah, in that time of year especially. Yeah, the whales show up.
Yeah. Also, from June 3rd to the 21st, for 3 weeks, we're going to have our annual Weber Dance Workshop. Weber Dance Company from Boston is going to be here with their wonderful teachers, Jody Weber, and her company members are going to be here. And that workshop is going to be held at the JDU studio. That's June 3rd to the 21st. And then that's going to, at the end of the workshop, it will have a performance. Right now, we're planning on having the performance at the Thunder Mountain High School Auditorium. But, we have to wait still on that because the theaters have now only have one person working know, both theaters now.
Right.
A lot of people in Juneau know that's been happening.
The location may change, but mark your calendars for June 21st for that performance. Yeah.
Well, I'd have to stop you. I have to stop you here. There's so much going on with Juneau Dance Unlimited, but we've got to go to Nancy DeCherney and Arts up here in a second to get the update and all the other stuff. But, boy, it's so much going on. Just a recap on the next couple of things that are coming up people should definitely watch their calendars for and start looking at tickets for.
For Ballet to Broadway, that first weekend in May, and Fine Arts Camp registration next week. Really just go to our website, junodance.org. Everything's right there.
12:01 a.m. April 1st.
Not 12:02.
Not 12:02. 12:01 a.m. All right. Juno Dance Unlimited. Right. Thanks to both Philip and Charlotte for coming in. Great to talk to you. And
Thank you.
Work you're doing here in Juno, keeping us dancing.
Yes.
And we're back, Juno Afternoon. More arts discussion here with Nancy DeCherney, the Executive Director of the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. How you doing there, Nancy?
I'm all right. How are you? What's going on, Andy?
Been better, been worse. You know,
fair it's to a Midland. Beautiful day in
it's
the neighborhood.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Look at it outside. Wait, gorgeous.
Are we telling people to call numbers or anything?
We can, sure. You know, yeah, it's a pledge drive.
Okay, 586-3636.
That's the number to call for pledge drive.
Make a call now.
Make a call.
But
let's get it. Let's dive in.
This is the last week for seminar. You've mentioned that,
I'm sure.
So don't miss it. And I didn't check the ticket numbers, but they're going down. So you better get in there.
That's true. I mean, they've had sellout shows. Mm-hmm. That show has been selling well. Mm-hmm. I went again last week, and it was basically a sellout show, the one I went to. So, yeah, it's...
If you haven't seen it, don't waste time. Get there. Okay, tonight at... Oh, we've got the wrong time on here. 5 o'clock...
That won't do at all.
Let's correct that. The Saturday thing, After Dark, which is for adults... expressing their nerdy selves. That happens at 5 over at the JEDC STEM workshop. That's kind of fun.
Okay. I don't know what you said, but...
It was in English, and there were different words.
So dark.
Arranged in some
adult
sort of order.
Entertainment.
Yes. Nerds. Inspiring Public Art Network, the Year in Review 2012. That's tonight at 7.
Okay.
So that's over at the Arts Council Gallery, and we'll have cookies. Probably Girl Scout
one. And that's the thing where we look at other places that have public art and kind of get inspiration from those places. Yeah,
and I'm hoping this DVD is better than the last one in terms of having a already made up thing. But I've not seen this one, so I'm excited to see it. It's the best of 2012, picked from all over the country.
Great, I haven't seen one either.
Yeah.
All
and
right.
We've got some big public art pieces getting ready to be planned in this community, so it's a good idea to come and find out more. 6 p.m., there's a drum clinic and open jam with Cole Paramore at UAS Rec Center, and Night in Madrid.
Yes, Night in Madrid. I think it's sold out. There might be a couple tickets
left. I didn't say a word.
Go to kto.org and click on Night in Madrid. If there's still tickets there, check it. I would go.
Okay.
Yes, I am going. I'll be there.
Okay, you'll be there.
Yes.
All right, so very good. There are a whole bunch of beer and wine tastings this weekend, and we'll start with the first one on Friday, which is at 6:30. It is a relay for what? Relay for life. Wine and beer
tasting.
What has
happened to Arts Up? I swear, you know. This is my last day of hosting Juno Afternoon.
Well, it's just
and to
the
think
best.
That it has just
degenerated
fallen
to this
point is such a disappointment.
All right, so the Relay for Wife.
Relay for Wives. Nice.
Okay, wine and beer tasting at Marlantini's. Okay, we'll get through this. All right, that's at 6:30 tonight. And then we'll get to the next one.
Okay.
Okay. Also tonight is the Forest Service Fireside Chat. They're talking about Arctic terns. You can go to that at 6:30 or 8. That's out at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center. It's free. And at 7 o'clock, they're talking about wolves and hunters, an examination of the reasons why Juno's lone wolf was killed.
Yes, old Romeo.
It's a UAS Egan Library. That also is free.
Okay.
And there is the Sound in Motion College Track 3, a documentary premiere and panel discussion out at UAS Egan Lecture Hall. So lots of things to do at the university.
Yep.
And again, it is 8 p.m., the first annual Juno Bunny Bar Hop, a good old-fashioned pub crawl with bunny ears.
I know. The woman
is this
who,
like the zombie thing?
The woman who's organizing this has just moved to town about a year ago from Boston, right, where she helped organize a pub crawl bunny hop thing Boston, and she's very excited about doing it. Sounds like a great time.
Starts it at Rockwell at 8 p.m. Saturday, we got all these Easter egg things going on. Saturday, 10 a.m., there's Easter eggs out at Zach Gordon.
Actually, at Thunder Mountain. It's put on by Zach Gordon, but it's at Thunder. We talked to them earlier this hour.
And there's a 10K and 1 mile race at the Glacier, Mendenhall Glacier parking lot. There is the Alaska Legislature's Centennial Celebration, Juneau's Legislative History. That's at the City Museum. And at 11 a.m., you can go decorate some Easter eggs and have your picture taken with an Easter bunny. At 12:30, you can go for a Nordic ski race, starting at the A-frame.
All right.
At 5 p.m., there's another wine tasting. What the heck?
Okay.
This one is a fundraiser for the Juno Symphony. It is at the ballroom. You can get tickets from all the usual places. And I think Specialty Imports is putting that one on. There's a dance, blues dance lesson with Devil's Club at the Alaska. And the Vagina Monologues are running this weekend. It's a fundraiser for AWARE. This is at the UAS Rec Center, 7 and 9 p.m. on Saturday. And I believe it's also on Sunday.
Now, I'm going to make you skip ahead to Clink.
Yeah.
Because we have to skip
ahead.
Okay,
we have to skip ahead
because we've only got a minute here, so let's talk about Clink.
That's at 5 p.m. on Tuesday. This is an amazing wine tasting.
That 51 wines.
51 different wines. This
right?
is brought. And it includes a really special sparkling wine, Shona Strasser.
Yes.
Oh. This is a fundraiser for the Jack, and it is also brought in by Specialty Imports. They do a trade show, and this is four different wineries, distributors coming in to represent, including the Bear Creek Winery people from Homer. So an amazing selection of wines. You can go on our website and check them off. Or you can go to the liquor store where we're putting little signs. So,
nice.
Yes, we want you to come to that,
that's
by all means.
Clink, and that's a fundraiser for the Juno Arts and Humanities Council that's happening Tuesday. JAHC.org is where you can get tickets.
It's at 5 p.m., although there are some signs out there that say 5:30 to 7:30. Some say 5 to 7. At a certain point, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I would say get there at 5.
Get there at 5, and then you'll get some of the sparkling
They'll
wine.
Let you in the at 5. Nancy DeCherney from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Thanks
funny.
So much. It's been fun with you as well. Thank you so much for coming in. And as I mentioned, that's my last Juno afternoon. Thanks so much to all of my guests today, and thanks for every single guest I've had in. It's been a great, fun time doing Juno afternoon, and I appreciate everyone for listening.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Obama held an emotional event in the White House East Room today with mothers who lost loved ones to gun violence. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports the president...